Fir'aun said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Namrud also said exactly the same. Namrud said, yes, people, you must worship me, for I am the greatest God. You have all your thousands of idols, they are your gods, but I'm your living God. Remember, he tried to prove being God to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam by calling up one prisoner and having his head, having him beheaded, and called up another one and released him, giving him life. And what did he say to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? I am God, for I also have power over life and death, which is recorded in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he is therefore an unbeliever, misleading others, arrogant and pretending to divinity. Writes Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullahi, he has sent three vultures into the heavens to make war on me intentionally. Among the actions of Namrud in order to destroy the God of Ibrahim alayhi salam, one was the Tower of Babel, and the other was that he was a great hunter, I told you, and he used to have these vultures and other things that they have for hunting that help them on the road. And he had three vultures released, and the instructions was that these vultures should go up into the heavens and kill and destroy the God of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what Maulana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi is referring to when he says that he, Namrud, after all that I did for him, he has sent three vultures into the heavens to make war on me intentionally. And he has killed 100,000 innocent children to find Ibrahim. When his astrologers reported to him, and soothsayers told him that a child is to be born, and this child, his name will be Ibrahim, and this child will destroy your empire. He will take away your empire, and he will ruin you completely. And yet, by the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam survived. So, what was the instruction? Namrud had given the instruction, every child born to every mother must be taken away from the lap of the mother and killed. Here it is, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi says, that he not only sent me three vultures, he not only released three vultures into the heavens to kill, so to say, to make war on me intentionally, he has also killed 100,000 innocent children to find Ibrahim. For the astrologers so foretold the name of him who would be born to destroy him. Destroy him before he destroys you. And in his madness, he every child would kill. Yet the predicted child was born and saved. Allah Ta'ala's words, or at least as Mawlana Rumi writes it, yet the predicted child, Ibrahim, was born and saved, and the guilt of those innocent killed was bound and chained to him, to Namrud. Did he gain his empire from his father to stubbornly hold to line and lineage? Now, Mawlana Rumi is writing for who? For the readers of the Masnavi. What he's writing here, did Namrud gain his empire from his father to stubbornly hold on to line and lineage? If parents cause their heirs to gain wealth, then such wealth they derive from me alone. In other words, from Allah alone. Mawlana Rumi, what does he say? He says, if parents cause their heirs to gain wealth and fortune, then such wealth they derive from Allah alone. Subhanallah. He is telling us, Mawlana Rumi is telling us that, look, whatever you obtain when your parents die, whatever you inherit, is not from your parents. Don't make a mistake. It is from Allah. And that is how Namrud should have taken all these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he makes a point in the last couplet, and the point is this for us. The carnal self is like a hungry wolf, blaming every other for his failures. The carnal self is like a hungry wolf, our nafs. Mawlana Rumi describes the nafs of man as what? As a hungry wolf. That is what this nafs is all about. It is a hungry wolf, all the time greedy, arrogant and greedy. The carnal self is like a hungry wolf, blaming every other for his failures. Do you not see that the Quran is full of the evil of carnal self? Look into the Quran and see. That is what is written about Namrud in the Masnavi, volume 6, page 319. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi also tells us the story of a mother whose child was thrown into the fire by a tyrannical ruler to force her into idolatry, which she adamantly refused to do. Listen to the story, it's a short story, which Mawlana Rumi writes. The pain of so vicious an action was unbearable on the heart of the mother, but her steadfastness, patience and faithfulness was rewarded when the child spoke out loudly from the midst of the fire that he was safe and sound and thoroughly enjoying himself in the coolness and peace of the fire. The innocent child was unaware of burn or suffering or even heat, and reveling in the safety and comfort of the fire into which the child had been thrown by the order of the pagan king. The child invited his mother, and the child invited bystanders to come into the fire and to enjoy their stay in the fire. The child stretched out his hand for his mother, taking which the mother also moved into the fire, to find within the fire a coolness and a peace which was heavenly. Earthly pain, earthly suffering and hardship was not to be found within the confines of the fire. Here was a sign of another world, another time, another place, another zone, another dimension altogether. Here was a favor and blessing of Allah Ta'ala so powerful that it made one to no longer desire for a return to this earth. Both mother and son cry out in their joy to the folk, meaning the people gathered outside, to come into the fire and enjoy the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people respond affirmatively to their joyous plea, and soon everyone is rushing into this miraculous fire, to the dismay of the soldiers of the king, who fail miserably to withhold the people. Thus was both king and shaitan disgraced, and idolatry turned into disbelief and complete failure. Here is the translated version of Mawlana Rumi's, in Mawlana Rumi's words. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah tells us that an event similar to the event that transpired when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took place in a certain time. There was a pagan ruler, a pagan king, and this pagan king had a mother brought. This pagan king had made an announcement that everybody in his dominion, in his kingdom, must worship idols. People, out of fear of punishment, did two things. One, they left the kingdom and went away over that area. I'm using the word kingdom. It may give you an idea. It was a vast area, but it could have been a town, even a village, which had a king. So in this particular city, the king made a law, promulgated a law. The law was everybody must worship the idols of the people. People had a choice. What they did was, either they left that territory and went away, or they accepted the idols and continued to live in that area. But one mother staunchly refused to become an idol worshipper. The soldiers, the guards, reported this to the pagan king. The king instructed she be brought in front of him. He told the mother that, listen, I want you to worship. Bow down in front of me, bow down in front of this idol of the people, the idol of the land, the idol of the state. And the mother continued to stand. She had a child in her arm, and she continued to stand, refusing completely to bow down to that idol. The king told his guards, light a fire. So a huge fire was lit, and then the king instructed that the child of this woman that she was holding on to tight, take the child and throw him into the fire. Soldiers took the child and they threw him into the fire. When they threw this child into the fire, the mother flinched. And in the heart of the mother, in her mind came the thought, I must save my child. Brothers, understand the situation. It's a mother and her child. The child is thrown into the fire. The thought that came into the mother's mind was, let me rather save my child by bowing down and prostrating to this idol. As soon as that came into her mind, she hears a voice, the voice of her son, shouting from the fire and telling her, mother, mother, I am safe. Look at me. And the mother turned and looked, and there was a child playing in the fire. The child says, Mother, come into this fire, and you will find and discover here another world, a world from which you will not want to return. So the son stretches out, little child stretches out a hand and tells the mother, come inside, mother. And tell all those people, tell them to come inside. It's a little child, playful child. Tell them all to come inside here, for I have discovered here something wonderful. I have discovered here what I never found outside. He stretches out his hand again and he calls his mother, come mother, tell all of them to come. The mother then leans forward, the child takes a hand and pulls her into the fire. This is the story. And then the mother discovers there, inside this fire, peace, calm, and a coolness, which is nothing short of a miracle. This is the story. Let me tell you the story in the words of Maulana Rumi, Rahmatullah Ali. To the idol was brought a woman with a child by a pagan king, and the fire was furiously ablaze. Said the king, to this idol must you now bow, or in this fire will you burn without a doubt. She was a true believer. She was a chaste woman who to this idol refused to bow. He grabbed the child, the king, the king's guards. He grabbed the child and cast him into the fire, and the woman hesitated in her belief. As she considered prostrating to the idol, perforce, the child cried out, I am not dead. Enter, O mother, I am happy here. Enter, O mother, I am happy here, though it appear that I am in the fire. This fire is like a spell that blinds the eye, whereas this fire is divine mercy from Allah. Come in, mother, and feel the evidence of truth, so that you may behold the delight of Allah's elect, selected people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come in, mother, and feel the evidence of truth, so that you may behold the delight of Allah's chosen people, of Allah's elect, Allah's select. Come in, O mother, and see water that looks like fire. For whom the fire... Come in and see water that looks like fire. In reality, this world is fire that looks like water. Child says, what does it say? Come in and see water that looks like fire. In reality, the world you live in, O mother, that is fire that looks like water. Come in, O mother, and see the secrets of Ibrahim, alayhislam, for whom the fire became a bed of roses. I saw death, O mother, I saw death when birth took me away from you. What is a child saying? When child is born, the child, 9 months, the mother feeds the child, looks after the child, keeps the child grows and grows in her womb. 9 months the mother looks and cares after that. Her every concern is only with the child inside of her. This young child, young boy says, when I left your womb, O mother, and when I came out, I thought that is the end of me. I thought, now what am I going to do? I'm helpless. I saw death when birth took me away from you. Great was my dread at this separation. Through birth, however, I escaped the confines of prison, meaning from the womb. Through birth, however, in actual fact, says the child, through birth, however, I escaped the confines of prison of this womb and came into this colorful world. Now I consider this world to be a womb. Now I consider, I'm in this fire now, so much joy in this fire, so much comfort in this fire. My mother, now I consider this world to be a womb. For in this fire I have enjoyed such rest. Brothers, you can make the conclusions yourself. Many of the things I say, meaning of all Maulana Rumi's poetry, couplets in the Masnavi is so deep. that it is, you know, it goes very, very deep, and I can't mention everything. Basically, what in two or three words, what this child is telling the mother, he's saying, we look at this world is so colorful and so on, but mother, you come in here, this is the real world. That world, it is like being in the womb of that mother, it's like being like in prison. We think this world is so wonderful and so we fight for freedom and liberty and all the rest of it in this world, but this world is just nothing at all. It's an illusion. Oh, mother, this world is nothing. Here I have found the real freedom. Mother, come, come inside. That world of yours is not worth living in. So he says, I have seen such a world in this fire. Oh, mother, I have seen such a world in this fire wherein every atom is like the life breath given to Isa. Alayhi salam. You know, Allah Ta'ala says, and he breathed of his spirit into Isa. Isa is his spirit. So he says that here Allah's spirit is everywhere. In this fire, in this, the way the temperature is here and so on. Here I found like the spirit which Allah Ta'ala breathed into Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, so I find everywhere in this fire the breath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily this fire is a world considered non-existent. Now, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi goes very, very deep, and I'm not going to give any explanations here. You try and understand it, or you get these cassettes and you can listen to them and try and work it out for yourself. Verily, this fire is a world considered non-existent. But it is really existent. While the world is considered existent, but in reality it is non-existent. Come in. Come in, mother, in the name of motherhood, and see this fire that has no fieriness. Same thing that happened with Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Come in the name of motherhood. Come and see that this fire has no fieriness. Come in, O mother, and see what success, what real success is. Come in, mother, and see what a real success is. Come in, mother, let not fortune slip thy hand. You have seen the power of that pagan dog. Mother, this pagan king that threw me in this fire, you have seen what power he has got to punish me. You have seen the power of that pagan dog. Come in, mother, and see the power of my God. Come in, mother, come into this fire and see the power of the graceful God. I invite you out of love for you, O my mother, for I am happy here and I have no care. Come in, mother, and invite the others also, for the King of Kings, meaning Allah, has spread a festal table in the fire. What this means? The child is telling the mother, come in, mother, here there is a whole table, and in this table are delicious dishes from heaven set for me by Allah Ta'ala. A festal table means a table prepared for a festival. All lovely things brought from Jannah by the Malaikas. Here is a table, and there's plenty of food in it, not only for me, for you, O my mother, and for all the people that are gathered outside, for everybody. Here's a table, a feast laid for everybody by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the words he uses, he says, come in. I invite you out of love for you, for I am happier and have no care. Come in and invite the others also, for the King of Kings has spread a festal table in the fire. Come in, mother, all of you, like moths, come into the fire that holds great delight. Come into the fire, O mother, come into the fire, O all true believers, so that you may know torment is outside, what torment is outside the deen. Come inside and see for yourselves how the heat of the fire has been turned off by Allah. As the flames lick all around him, he feels the fire licking him, but nothing. Cool and calm. Every time it's like a cool breeze. Every time a fire, a flame of the fire touches him, the child feels like a cool breeze blowing over it. That is why the child tells the mother, yeah, come in, come inside and see for yourselves how the heat of the fire has been turned off by Allah. Come in, O mother, into this sea of fire. Come in, all of you, the good and the bad. Come in, for all are the subjects of reprimand. Now, what this child saw is a whole lot of people looking down, ashamed, hanging their heads, some people drawing backwards. What the child is saying is, amongst people there are good people, there are weak people, there are, there are saints and sinners. All kinds of people amongst. The child is saying, it doesn't matter. Remember, it is a child only. He's saying, come inside, come into the fire, come in all of you, the good and the bad, come in, for all are the subjects of reprimand. In other words, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are warned by Allah, all of us are warned, not to sin, to be pious, and so on. So he says, all of you must come in. Come in into the sea of fire, all of you, so that this fire may cleanse your souls. The mother then stretched out her hand to the child. The child grabbed her hand with great delight. The mother was drawn into the fire by the child, and here she found the treasure of true belief. In the fire, she found the treasure of true iman, of true belief. The mother started to say the same as her son, hailing the praises of truth and mercy as such. She shouted to the people outside, and they became demonstrably restless and ill at ease. Son came in, son is hailing the people outside, calling the mother and calling the people in. Alright? The son says all these things. Eventually the mother stretches out her hand into the fire. Child grabs the hand and pulls her in. People are watching the scene. The mother and son, mother and child, are inside the fire. They see nothing happening to the mother. The fire is causing no harm to the mother. The result is people are becoming restless. And mother and the son, both are now inviting the people to come in. People are gathering courage. People want to go inside. Restlessness is to be found amongst the people. She was telling the people from the fire, look at the flower garden in this fire. People, the son said, what did the son say? The son said, there is a table laid here with a feast from Jannah. The mother is saying, people come and see here. The garden of Jannah is here. Come and see this garden, this flower garden in this fire. Allahu Akbar. After this, both men and women alike cast themselves into the fire unhesitatingly. They could not hold themselves back any longer. Without being led, without being pushed, purely for the sake of Allah, the love of Allah, to turn bitterness to sweetness is the due of Allah. The king's guards tried to prevent people from jumping into the fire. Do not go into the fire, they said. The pagan king's face turned dark with shame and dismay, and his heart turned to stone with disgrace. In the fire, the faith of the people increased, and they grew firm in their conviction of the spiritual realm. Thus the ploy of the devil turned back on him, and the devil saw himself thoroughly disgraced. The evil he was rubbing on other people's faces, Shaitan found was rubbed onto his own face. Masnawi, Volume 1, pages 73-75. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh also tells us in his fascinating book, The Masnawi, The Dilemma of Humiliation, Dismay and Disgrace of Namrud, when the huge fire he had built refused to burn Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. The king Namrud addressed the fire with great indignation and discontent as follows. brothers. I'm going to read out another because I don't want to do this Masnavi next week. This is the last one in our lesson for today. This huge fire is built. Prior to him going off, Namrud stands and addresses and talks to this fire. No, this was not then. This, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi writes, when he came back from his trip, he stands in front of the fire. When people told him that Nabi Ibrahim al-Islam after 7 days has not been burned, Namrud came and stood in front of the fire prior to Nabi Ibrahim al-Islam coming out of the fire, and he addresses himself to the fire in the following words. Here he writes, and this I'll go through quickly, brothers. These are all very, very lengthy poems of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi. Facing the fire, the king said, O fiery one, what happened to your inherent burning power? What has happened to your habit to burn? Or has fate changed your intention towards me? When fire worshippers are not saved by you, as it should, why are they who do not worship you not put to shame? You are fire. Fire, you are no patient one. Then why do you lack power to burn? Have you lost your senses, O fire, or closed your eyes, O fire? And why do you not blow your flames up high to burn? Have you been bewitched, or is this magic? Or is it with me that you are angry? The fire said. One is what I reported now. What is that? That is the speech of Namrud to the fire. Now listen to the reply of the fire. The fire said, I am still fire. As you come inside, you will feel my heat. Neither my nature nor my element has changed. I am yet the sword of truth, and by the leave of Allah, I cut and I burn. Like the guard dogs in front of the palace, attack not familiar guests. Yet if any stranger enter the palace, the dogs will rush at him like lions. I am no lesser than a dog in devotion. The fire says, I am no lesser than a dog in devotion. In life, I am devoted to the truth to no less extent. If fire burn and make you suffer pain, then know that this is by the command of Allah. If fire burn and make you suffer pain, then know that this suffering and burning is caused by the command of Allah. If fire give you joy, then know that this joy is put therein by the command of Allah. If fire give you joy, then know that this joy is put therein by the command of Allah. When you feel pain and sorrow, seek forgiveness and repent. For this command of pain and sorrow has come from Allah. When Allah pleases, pain itself can turn to joy. Bondage itself can turn to freedom complete. Air and earth and water and fire are his slaves, are the slaves of Allah. With us they are dead, but with Allah they are alive. Before Allah, fire is always standing ready to obey, like a lover ecstatic day and night to serve. In other words, to serve the command of Allah. If you strike stone and iron, fire will leap out. By the command of Allah, it will put forth its foot. Thus, stone and iron are indeed causes, but the real command, look higher, O good man. For this external cause was produced by that higher cause. When did a cause proceed without a higher cause? When did anything happen without somebody higher up commanding it and ordering it? The causes which guide the prophets along the way are higher than these external causes. We are familiar with the external causes, but the prophets are familiar with the higher causes. In Arabic, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi writes, in Arabic the cord is called the cause, whereas the cord draws water from the well. Look at this example of Maulana's. He says, in Arabic, the cord is called the cause. When we say, this is the cause of such and such a thing, this is the cause. Maulana Rumi says, that is only the cord. The cause is only the cord. Like, it is the cord that draws water from the well. The draw of the cord pulls the wheel, but not to see the drawer is a mistake. Subhanallah. Brothers, I hope you understand what this is. In other words, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is the cause. The higher cause that Mawlana is talking about is that we see the wheel turning, we see the people drawing, or you see ox turning the wheel, and there's a cord that goes, and he turns, and you think it is the ox that is turning the wheel, and it's the cord that's turning the wheel and bringing the water up. What Mawlana is saying here, it's neither the ox, nor is it the cord, nor is it the wheel, nor is it the water, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the cord, the wheel, the water, all these things, none of them would function. Not one would function if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not command it to work. The draw of the cord pulls and turns the wheel, but not to see the drawer is a mistake. So do not regard these cords as causes, and see the wheel as the means, and be confused, O man, lest the circle and the wheel hold you in confusion, and the wood burn, and there is smoke, and nothing more. You see the wood, you see the smoke, you do not see any higher cause. That is what Mawlana is saying. He's saying further, air becomes fire by the command of Allah. Subhanallah. Air becomes fire by the command of Allah. How else would fire come out? You light. In the old days they had flint. Prior to that they used to knock stones together. All these various methods that they had. What turns the air that it suddenly turns into fire? This is what Mawlana is asking. Air becomes fire by the command of Allah. Both are filled with obedience to the command of Allah. Water becomes merciful and fire becomes angry by the command of Allah. When will you understand this? If the soul of the wind, last example he's giving, if the soul of the wind had not known the command of Allah, how would the soul of the wind have differentiated between believer and unbeliever of the people of Ad? Now I ask you another one. The people of Ad, how would the wind have distinguished? Believer and unbeliever were all standing mixed up there. Yeah, and yet, the wind knew who to blast away, who to blow up into shreds, who to smash into smithereens. It's one wind coming along. How did the wind find corridors to pick out only those people that were mushrikeen? I ask you, how did the mosquito know who to pick up of the mushrikeen of the people of Namrud? How did the mosquito know who to enter, whose noses to enter, and who to scratch, and who to bite, and whose blood to suck? So he says, what he says here is, this is how Allah's, what Mawlana is, and this is why I've chosen this, just to give an example, so one day you can say, well, we heard something of the Masnavi as well. That is all I want to bring. You will realize how people of the past, the quality, and I've done nothing at all. All I've done is just giving you a little bit of vivid imagery of what this man is writing about. This is the type of people we have had in the past. Tell me. You think about this. Can we in these days talk of people like this? Can we ever get back the period, high intellectual period, the greatest knowledgeable period, the most illuminated period in the history of man, of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala? Never, brothers. And this is why I brought this, just briefly to show you. We have had, and we must live with that. What remarkable, let's complete, what remarkable and outstanding couplets these are of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great Persian mystic, who left fame and fortune for a simple and humble life. Wealthy man. He was a professor, learned man. He had acquired great knowledges and great sciences. And when he went into this, when he experienced the other life, the unworldly life, the spiritual life, then he started writing things like this. He had a superb mind with a scholarly bent, for he had studied the major sciences of his time, both secular and religious, and then he gave himself over to the spiritual. We see in his examples and in his parables the extreme depth of his vision and his excellent insight into the human extremities, human strengths and weaknesses. The Masnavi is filled with such excellent examples, hundreds and hundreds, hundreds upon hundreds of examples like this, which span the entire spectrum of human history, crossing the path of man's successes and failures throughout time. It makes for incredible reading, but it is deep and painfully slow to understand and appreciate. After 25 years of learning and teaching, I am now studying certain parts of the Masnavi of Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, a book which I purchased more than 30 years ago because I was so fascinated by it. Islam is so rich in literature of great merit that it is sad so few students are keen to study them and research them. I hope the future will be better, inshallah. European, mostly non-Muslim scholars have rendered valuable services in this regard and researched them, our great books of the past, in other words, and researched them over lengthy periods with special grants from their churches and from their governments. The greatest grantee to research Islamic literature has been the churches, brothers. Roman Catholic Church in particular, and the Anglican Church afterwards. The greatest grantees to their scholars to study literature under various guises, of course. For example, they use Oxford University, Anglican Church. Alright? And other universities, Cambridge University and so on. But the grants are back. Why go far? Here, UCT. You don't need to go very far, and so on. So the greatest sponsors of research into Islamic literature, and that is why they've written, because they can spend up to 20 years and 30 years researching one particular Islamic book. No problem. They are granted their complete fee for that period. Alright? So what I am saying is, we, unfortunately, our Arabs are busy spinning wheels. So it's very hard for them to give grants for this particular type of thing, or research into Islamic affairs. So what I'm saying is, Islam is so rich in literature of great merit that it is sad so few students are keen to study and research them. I hope the future will be better. European, mostly non-Muslim scholars have rendered valuable services in this regard and researched Islamic literature over lengthy periods with special grants, but their unbelief is a dividing line between sincere, true and positive understanding and unfaithful, often insincere and biased comprehension. The scholars of Islam must review and correct them, or even better, write their own translations and commentaries. Jazakumullah. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين
كريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our creator, our sustainer, and we send درود and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سيدنا ونبينا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and upon his family and his children and his companions, the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. Brothers, in this holy month of Jamadil Ula, and which is equivalent to November 1991, we proceed with our lesson on Shaitan's plan for man. We are approaching the end of this lesson after a few more weeks, and we are engaged at the moment in the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and his trials and tribulations with the king, the tyrannical king of his period, the tyrant Namrud, who used his wealth and his power and his status in order to oppress the haqq and the truth. And in this, he ran a vendetta against Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, which eventually led to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam being sentenced by both the people with their priests as the leaders and the ruler Namrud, King Namrud,
to him being sentenced to death by fire. In other words, by burning. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, however, was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was Khalilullah, he was a friend of Allah, and he was saved from burning in the fire. He eventually came out of the fire and went on his way. He migrated from that country, which is now Iraq, and he left the cradle, this area known as the cradle of civilization, which was also known as Babylonia and as Mesopotamia, and he trekked north, and then from north he trekked to Canaan, and then he trekked westwards through Syria and went into Egypt, and then from Egypt after a while he returned, came back again northwards bound in Syria, and from there southwards into what is today known as the region of Palestine. That is what we did last week. Also, in by way of ending of this lesson of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Namrud and Shaitan, we have dealt with the aspects whereby Shaitan tried to devise stratagems in order to mislead the people. We told and we learnt that the device with which Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was shot into the fire, that device was also, the idea was given to the construction people by Shaitan. And in this way, we have learnt many other factors of the ways in which Shaitan seduces mankind. This is the purpose of Al-Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates all these stories of the Anbiya Ikram, the Qasasul Anbiya, so that we may learn therefrom the history of mankind and the lessons that we derive therefrom. We may not, must not repeat them in our time. But man is feeble, man is weak, man is hasty, and man goes on repeating the errors and mistakes of the past peoples. I said towards the end we did extracts from the Masnawi of Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi, the great Persian mystic, and I recited for you certain of these verses. The first one I recited to you dealt with Namrud and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored him with so many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored him with so much ni'mah that he in his arrogance looked past these favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his arrogance he claimed not only divinity for himself, but he claimed besides that almost one can say everlasting life for himself. He claimed, exactly like Fir'aun, to be a god unto himself. And this is what led to his eventual destruction. What we are going to do now is something that over the past 25 years I have never done. I can't remember having done this before. I recited to you from the Masnawi verses, and I gave you the translation in the English language. What I am going to do today in a few minutes quickly is to give you the original version in which Maulana Rumi wrote this, but he wrote it in the Persian, and the closest translation to the Persian is in the Urdu language. Now, many people that listen to us are Urdu speaking, so in a short time I will give you the original Urdu version of these verses that I recited last week, but I've chosen only two parts and not the entire. And the two parts which I will do today, before proceeding with today's lesson, is the one which deals with the mother and child, the episode wherein a tyrant requested the mother that she must bow down and make sujood to an idol. When the mother refused to bow down to the idol, her child was taken from her lap and thrown into the fire. Thereafter, I told you the entire episode which Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi relates, how this child landed into the fire, but the fire refused to touch him or to burn this child. And the result was the child was saved in exactly the same way as Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from the fire. And this means a miracle was repeated. This is how it goes. The first part that I'm going to translate for you deals with the story of the mother whose child was thrown into a fire by a tyrannical ruler to force her into idolatry. And she adamantly refused to do so. The pain of so vicious an action was unbearable on the heart of the mother, but her steadfastness, forbearance, patience and faithfulness was rewarded when the child spoke out loudly from the midst of the fire that he was safe and sound and thoroughly enjoying himself in the coolness and peace of the fire. This is how it goes. Ek zan batifal wo laya juhud aage us but ke jo thi aatish badu bola ae zan sijda is but ko tu kar warna aatish mein jalegi be khatar thi wo aurat momina aur paak deen sijda is but ko kiya usne nahi aag mein bachcha ko dala chheen ke dil uthaya zan ne tab imaan se بت کو چاہا اس نے تا سجدہ کروں طفل نے آواز دی میں زندہ ہوں اندر آ اے ماں کہ میں خوش ہوں یہاں گو بظاہر آگ کے ہوں درمیان ہے نظر بند آگ پر ہے نظر بند آگ پردے کے لیے ورنہ رحمت ہے یہ بندے کے لیے اندر آما دیکھ لے برہان حق تا تو دیکھے عشرت خاصان حق اندر آ کے دیکھ اب آتش کا ڈھنگ اس جہاں سے کہ آتش آب رنگ دیکھ آ کر بہد ابراہیم کے کہ اسے آتش ہوئی گلزار ہے تیرا جنہ موت تھا میرے لیے تجھ سے چھٹنا ہے بھلا میرے لیے پیدا ہو کر چھوٹا قید تنگ سے آیا اس دنیا میں جو خوش رنگ ہے یہ جہاں مس رحم مجھ کو ہوا جو مجھے آرام آتش میں ملا دیکھا ہے وہ عالم اندر آگ کے ذرہ ذرہ مثل عیسیٰ اس میں ہے یہ جہاں ہے نیست صورت ہیست کے نیست کی صورت جہاں وہ نیست کی صورت جہاں وہ ہیست ہے آ یہاں اے ماں بے حق مادری دیکھ آتش میں نہیں ہے آزری اندر آ اے ماں تو دیکھ اقبال کو اندر آ اے ماں تو دولت کو نہ کھو قدرت اس کتے کی دیکھی اندر آ قدرت اس کتے کی دیکھی اندر آ دیکھ لے اب قدرت فضل خدا میں محبت سے بلاتا ہوں تجھے ورنہ میں خوش ہوں نہیں پرواہ مجھے میں محبت سے بلاتا ہوں تجھے ورنہ میں خوش ہوں نہیں پرواہ مجھے اندر آ اور دوسروں کو بھی بلا آگ میں ایک خان ہے شاہ نے رکھا آؤ اندر سب کے سب پروانہ وار آگ میں آؤ کہ رکھتی ہے بہار. The innocent child was unaware of burn or suffering in the fire into which it had been placed, or even the heat. It was unaware of the heat, and the child was reveling in the safety and comfort of the fire into which he had been thrown by order of the pagan king. The child invited his mother and bystanders to come into the fire and enjoy their stay therein. The child stretched out his hand for the mother, taking which the mother also moved into the fire to find it within the fire a coolness and peace which was heavenly. Earthly pain, suffering and hardship was not to be found within the fire. Here was a sign of another world, another time, another dimension. Here was the favor and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so powerful that it made one to no longer desire for a return to this material world.
Both mother and son cry out in their joy to the folk, to the people gathered outside the fire, to come into the fire and enjoy the mercy and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people respond affirmatively to the joyous plea of mother and son. And soon everyone is rushing into the miraculous fire, to the dismay of the soldiers and the pagan ruler, the king, who failed miserably to withhold the people from entering the fire. Thus was both king and shaitan disgraced, and idolatry turned to disbelief and into complete failure. We continue and end of this particular version. The child says, Andar aa aur dusro ko bhi bula, aag mein ek khan hai shaan rakha, aao andar sab ke sab parwanawar, aag mein aao ke rakhti hai bahar. Andar aao ay musalmano sabhi, tum azab is din siwa jaano sabhi, andar aakar dekho ab tum is tarah, garam aatish bhuj gayi hai kis tarah. Andar aao ay sabhi masto kharab, andar aao abhi sab ain-e-itab, aao is darya mein aao sab ke sab, ta safaye rooh ka ho ye sabab, uski maa ne dala usme aap ko, tufl ne haath uska pakda shad ho, aayi maadar aag mein ladke ki jo, paya usne daulat imaan ko, uski maa bhi waise hi kehne lagi, wasfalut haq ada karne lagi, aur pukara usne sab logo ko, par hui jaan khalq ki betab ho, aag mein kehti thi logo se ke haan, aag mein dekho khula hai bustan, aag mein dekho khula hai bustan, baadahu sab mard o zan betab hua, بیتاب ہوئے ڈالتے تھے آگ میں خود آپ کو بے کشش بے جز عشق یا عشق یار سے کیونکہ شیری تلخ کو وہ کرتا ہے جب ہوا یہ وہ سپاہی خلق کو منع کرتے آگے میں تم مت گرو یعنی آگ میں مت گرو وہ یہودی روسیا چونگل ہوا اور پشیما سے مردہ دل ہوا آگ میں مخلوق عاشق تر ہوئی اور فنائی تن میں صادق تر ہوئی مکر شیطان اس پہ لپٹا شکر ہے روسیا خود دیو آیا شکر ہے دوسروں کو منا پہ دوسروں کو منہ پہ جو ملتا تھا وہ پایا اپنے منہ پہ وہ انجام کو. That is the first verse, and that is the entire story in the original Urdu version of that particular couplets written by Maulana Rumi a long, long time ago. The second one, and the second part, which I will read out to you now, is where Namrud faces this huge bonfire that he has built. Perhaps in the history of mankind, never has a fire been built bigger than the one that was constructed for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or at least so history records. I mean, if firewood had been brought in from the surrounding forests for days and days on end until a huge, I would imagine from the description written in the kitabs that that particular fire that was built, or the pyre, P-Y-R-E, that was built for the purpose of burning one man, a single opponent of Kufr and Batil and Shirk, that fire would have been, in my estimation, something like 10 stories high. A vast, vast field it occupied. And Namrud now, seeing the refusal of this fire to burn Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Namrud addresses himself to the fire. I will read that section first. And thereafter the fire in turn now gives the reply to Namrud as to the reasons why it cannot burn Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first part goes as follows, wherein Namrud addresses the fire. This is what he says. Aag se shah ne kaha ay shola ko, kya hui teri jala dene ki hu, kya jalane ki hui aadat teri, badli kismat se meri niyat teri, تجھ نے جب پچھنے ہی آتش پرست تجھ نے جب بچتے نہیں تجھ سے جب بچتے نہیں آتش پرست جو نہ پوجے کیوں نہیں ہوتے وہ پست آگ ہے اے آگ تو صابر نہیں پھر جلانے پر تو کیوں قادر نہیں ہوش اڑے ہیں یا ہوئی ہے آنکھ بند پھونکتے کیوں کر نہیں شعلے بلند تجھ پہ جادو کر دیا یا سیمیا یا فقط مجھ سے ہوئی ہے تو خفا آگ بولی میں ابھی تک آگ ہوں Here the fire begins to reply. Aag boli main abhi tak aag hoon. Now the fire said, I'm still a fire. Aag boli main abhi tak aag hoon. Andar aate hi tujhko phoonk doon. Na tabiyat badli na ansar meri. Teegh haq hoon kaatti hoon hukm se. Dar pe kutta qasr ke darbaan ka. Aash na rehta hai bas mehman ka. کر گوئی بیگان آئے قصر پر دوڑتے کتا اس پہ مثلے شیر نر بندگی میں میں نہیں کتے سے کم زندگی میں حق نہ دربان سے ہے کم آتش تبا تجھے کر غمگین کر آتش تبا تجھے گر غمگین کرے امر حق سے اس غمی کو جان لے آتش تبا تجھے تجھ کو اگر خوش کرے امر حق سے اس خوشی کو جان لے جو کہ غم دیکھے تو استغفار کر حکم حق سے یا ہے غم کا اگر حکم حق سے آیا ہے غم کا اگر وہ جو چاہے عین غم ہوئے خوشی قید تجھ کو عین ہو آزادگی بندہ آب و خاک و باد و آگ ہے مردہ ہم سے زندہ حق کے سامنے پیش حق دائم رکھے آتش قیام مثل عاشق رات دن بے جان مدام آگ نکلے سنگ آہن جو لڑے حکم حق سے وہ قدم باہر رکھے سنگ آہن خود سبب آیا ولے کرتبالا پر نظر اے مرد نیک لایا ظاہر اس سبب کا وہ سبب بے سبب کہ کب پیدا ہو سبب کہ کب یہ پیدا ہو سبب اس سبب کو وہ سبب عامل کرے اور کبھی اس کو وہ بے حاصل کرے انبیاء کے جو سبب ہے راہبر ان سبب سے وہ سبب ہے پیشتر اس سبب کہ عقل ہے آگاہ کار اس سبب کے انبیاء ہیں رازدار کہتے ہیں عربی میں رسی کو سبب چاہے دنیا میں یہ رسی ہے سبب چرخ کی گردش ہے رسی کا سبب چرخ والے کو نہ دیکھے ہو تب اس سبب کی رسیوں کو تو یہاں چرخ سرکرتا سے مت جا اے میاں تانا صفر و چرخ سے سرگرداں رہے تانا بن کر چیر کو تو جلتا رہے باد و آتش امر حق سے ہوتی ہیں مست دونوں خمر حق سے ہوتی ہے حلم کا آب اور آتش چشم کی حق سے پائے تو جو سمجھے اے اخی گر نہ ہوتی حق سے واقف جان باد فرق کب کرتی میاں قوم عاد Brothers, that is it. That is the whole story. And I've given you this for two reasons. Many of you don't understand it. But this is the classical method and manner by which this poem was written. Or these couplets were written by Maulana Rumi Rahmatullahi Alayh, obviously in the Persian language. But it is fascinating how all those that time ago such fine literature was compiled in the early days. We now continue with where we left off last week. We have basically finished the entire story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Namrud and Shaitan. Just there are two matters I wish to state before I conclude the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Namrud and Shaitan. One deals with the period of the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, and the second deals with English commentaries of the Quran Majid. Let us take the first matter first. The first matter we deal with is as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes imbues His devoted servants and slaves, the awliya Allah, with the ability to perform karamat, certain miracles. The miracles performed by the anbiya, that is to say the prophets of Allah ta'ala, are known as mu'jiza. Due to their extreme piety and obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the awliya Allah, the saints in the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may even repeat a miracle performed previously by one of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It so happens that several of these miracles were performed by the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, and by their immediate successors known as the Tabi'in-e-Karam, the Tabi'in-e-Karam, and the earliest, what we call the Qurun-e-Ula, the early generations of Muslimin, and those who succeeded them, known as the Tabi'in-e-Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. We have the case, for example, of the miracle of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam about the fire being experienced by one of the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. I have already given you above the example of the mother and child as recorded by Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, which is of a much later period, as found in the Masnawi. This one that I am about to relate to you now dates to the period of the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, and it goes as follows. The story goes as follows. The reenactment of this miracle of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Aswad Ansi. Remember this name, Aswad Ansi. We know one name very, very well. The name of Musaylimah Kazzab. We know that very, very well. He was an imposter who claimed prophethood. He claimed to be a prophet in the period of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another claimant to prophethood during the period of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an enemy of Allah known as Aswad Ansi. He was an imposter who claimed prophethood during the last period of the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Aswad Ansi was from the Yemen, and he was a great demagogue and an able magician. Demagogue means he had the gift of the gab. He was a good orator. He could speak very well. He could sway people with his speech. And he was a great magician also. He could perform a lot of magic. He used his wit and his magic to further his evil designs. And seeing the popularity of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the spread of Islam over many areas and many tribes in Arabia, he also claimed prophethood. Aswad Ansi thought, as many enemies of Islam did at that time, that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a person with great material ambitions, ambitions towards power, ambitions towards wealth, ambitions towards position and honor among his people. Aswad Ansi also was one of those who thought that the Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasallam was merely speculating. So he, seeing the success of Islam and the Prophet of Islam, also claimed to be a prophet southwards in the Yemen. He impressed people with his magic, with his wizardry, with his lies, and a large number of people accepted his false claim to being a prophet and became his followers. Shahr was the son of Ba'dan. He was the governor of Yemen. Ba'dan was the governor of Yemen. Shahar. Shahar was the son of Ba'dan. He was the governor of Yemen. Ba'dan was the governor of Yemen in the time of the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Ba'dan was a famous governor of Yemen, died, his son Shahar took over as governor of Yemen. Aswad Ansi then drew up a scheme to come into power after claiming prophethood, and he wanted to occupy the highest position in the land, which was that of being the governor of that area. He therefore had Shahar killed and declared himself to be the governor of Yemen. So Aswad Ansi had him killed and married his widow, who the widow of Shahar. He married his widow by force. He compelled her to marry him. And he brought this whole territory thereafter under his control. This was while the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still alive. I'm now talking a few months prior to the demise of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what is happening in the Yemen. From which territory many people have already accepted Islam. Aswad Ansi, however, his crudeness and contempt for others, his arrogance in other words, however, brought him many enemies, both inside the Yemen as well as on the outside. And with contrivances between his own friends and his wife, he was eventually killed shortly before the demise of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he plotted and he planned and he schemed and he came into power and he forced people to accept him as a prophet, which was a false claim. Thousands upon thousands of people accepted him as a prophet because he performed so many magical feats, and he spoke so well because of his oratorial skills. But his wife in the meantime, together with some of his close friends whom he had in his arrogance addressed and perhaps hurt, they laid a plan, and one night they all got together and they killed him, they murdered him. Now, when this imposter claimed prophethood, let's take the story up. That briefly in a nutshell is who was Aswad Ansi. Now let's look what happens. When this imposter Aswad Ansi claimed prophethood, he wished it to be confirmed by the most highly respected religious and prominent personality in Yemen. Such a man available at that time was Hazrat Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullah alayhi, a Sahabi, a man greatly admired by the people for his learning and his piety. His name was Abu Muslim Khulani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now what Aswad Ansi, when he claimed prophethood, he wanted one of those persons who were considered the imam of his time, one of the leading personalities, religious scholars of his period, to ratify, to witness the fact that he was a prophet of God. This is what it means. Aswad Ansi had Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullah alayhi brought into his presence, and then he asked him, "Do you bear witness that I am the Rasul of Allah?" Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullah alayhi replied, "I do not hear you. I do not hear you." He repeated it many times to him, "Do you accept this fact? Do you believe that I am the Rasul of Allah? Do you bear witness to this fact?" And every time this Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, every time he said, "I don't even hear you. I hear nothing from you." Aswad Ansi then asked him, "Do you bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah?" To which Khulani rahmatullah alayhi readily replied, "Oh yes, I do. I do." Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullah alayhi was pressurized and he was threatened several times after this to bear witness to the fact that he, Aswad Ansi, was a prophet. Now, pressure and compulsion is used on Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullah alayhi to bear witness to the fact that Aswad Ansi is a prophet. Every time he was asked this question, he refused. you are not. In other words, I don't hear you. I do not hear you at all. This he consistently refused to do, uncaring of the dire consequences of his refusal and the rebuttal of this villain. He did not care what happens to him. He was not bothered with that. Whatever the aftermath, whatever the consequences of his refusal to recognize Aswad Ansi as a prophet of God, he was not concerned with the aftermath. In extreme anger, Aswad Ansi ordered that a huge fire be built and that Abu Muslim Khulani radiallahu ta'ala anhu be thrown into it. This was done. A huge fire was built and the Sahabi was thrown into the fire. The miracle of the fire turning cool and peaceful as it had done for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the past was repeated again in his case, in the case of this Sahabi. And he began to perform salah in the burning and the raging fire. People noticed this Sahabi thrown into the fire and he stands up and immediately Allahu Akbar and he starts performing salah, namaz inside that fire. And he began to perform salah in the burning and raging fire. Upon completing his salah, he emerged unscathed from it. Alright? Upon completing his salah, he emerged unscathed from this fire, and this miracle brought great fear to the scheming magician and this cheap wizard, Aswad Ansi. Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullahi then left for Madina Munawwara. He could do absolutely nothing. Aswad Ansi, this imposter, could do nothing at all, nothing whatsoever. He became very fearful and he became fearful of his life. And then he allowed this Sahabi to eventually depart and leave this particular area of Yemen. And the Sahabi Abu Muslim Khulani rahmatullahi then journeyed, he left this area of Yemen and he journeyed towards Madina Munawwara. When he arrived in Medina, the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already passed away. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was the Khalifa of the Muslimin. His fame, this Sahabi, his fame however had preceded him and people knew of his mu'jiza in emerging unharmed from the fire set up to kill him by burning by the instruction of Aswad Ansi. His fame had spread. People talk. It's very, very strange, amazing. You know, it's well known as the bush telegraph in Africa. But you have a desert telegraph in that part of the world. Allah knows alone how it happens. But even in those days, people used to carry messages and news from place to place. There were many stations and stops in those days, whether they traveled by camel or whether they traveled by horseback. And mostly they traveled how? Walking. They walked tremendous thousands of miles or kilometers, what they used to walk in those days. People, and all along the route there were hotels, you can call them, or stations or stopovers where people could refresh themselves, people could sleep over, people could rest, people could buy food and then continue their journey again further. So word used to travel from camp to camp, from place to place, from station to station, and people used to carry these messages and news from place to place. So before Abu Muslim Khulani radiallahu ta'ala reached Madina Munawwara, his fame, the fact that Aswad Ansi had tried to burn him, and the fact that the fire refused to burn him, exactly as it had done in the period of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his fame and this story had spread already throughout the Muslim world, and everybody was talking about this particular deed. Abu Muslim Khulani radiallahu ta'ala anhu then went to pay his respects to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was now the Khalifa of the Muslimin. And there he met and saw Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu seated beside Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on seeing Abu Muslim Khulani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, stood up. He took Abu Muslim by the shoulders and he brought him and he seated him between himself and said Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, he uttered these words. Who uttered these words? Said Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. He said, Alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala be praised for having favored me with the sight of a member of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before my death, who has lived through the experience of the miracle of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. He embraced him. Saying thus, he embraced Abu Khulani